Welcome to the deep dive. Okay, imagine this. Your software isn't just something you use like a tool, but it's actually an intelligent partner, something that acts for you, autonomously solving problems. That's really the powerful promise of agentic AI. And this isn't just another tech buzzword. It feels like a really profound shift. It's moving so fast from, well, what seemed like science fiction just yesterday to being a real thing in businesses today.
Yeah, and it brings up a fascinating point, almost a paradox. Well, AI is everywhere on the business agenda, right? Often the focus is internal, like boosting efficiency. But at the same time, there's this huge multi-trillion-dollar force building up from consumers, people just experimenting with AI in their everyday lives.
Right. So today we're going to take a deep dive into exactly that, agentic AI, and how enterprises are adopting it so quickly. Our goal is to really unpack what agentic AI is, why it's becoming so central to transforming businesses, and maybe most importantly, how organizations can actually get it right. Because it's not just about the tech, is it? It's about the people too.
That's absolutely critical. The real story here, as Michael Brenner from Workday pointed out, it isn't just about the algorithms or the, processing power. Fundamentally, he calls it a leadership problem, not just a technology problem. It's all about how leaders, teams, individuals, how everyone navigates this huge change. So we'll definitely be exploring some of the, let's say, harder truths and the essential tips for actually succeeding.
Okay, let's get into it then. We hear AI all the time, but what is agentic AI really? Most of us know tools like ChatGPT, great for creating content from prompts. But agentic AI sounds like, well, a different beast entirely. Can you break down what really sets it apart?
Absolutely. The core difference is really agency, the ability to act. So generative AI, like you said, it creates stuff based on prompts. Agentic AI, though, it's designed to act, to automate outcomes. Think of it less like a tool you command and more like a proactive partner. It doesn't just wait for instructions. It can perceive its environment. It can reason. It can plan. And then critically, it takes action independently to achieve a goal you've set.
So it interprets like high-level instructions.
Exactly, high-level intent. And then it figures out the multi-step decisions needed to get there. It can even orchestrate other AI models. Like it might use a generative AI tool as part of its workflow, maybe to draft an email or summarize a report, but it's the one calling the shots.
Okay, so that autonomy. What does that actually let businesses do that was harder before? How does it free up people?
Well, it means systems can handle tasks, even complex problem solving, without needing someone constantly looking over their shoulder. That directly shifts human talent, your people, towards more strategic work, creative thinking, stuff humans are uniquely good at. And these agents, they're inherently proactive. They're built to sort of think and do with initiative, almost like a person would. They can spot potential problems brewing and start corrective actions, sometimes before a human even realizes something's up. And they're adaptable too. They learn. They adjust what they're doing in real time based on new data, new outcomes.
How do they manage that level of independent action and learning?
It really comes down to being intensely goal-driven. You give it a high-level objective, like, cut delivery delays by 15%. The agent then has to reason through how to achieve that. It evaluates different paths, plans the steps, and then executes them. Plus, enterprises can deploy whole teams of specialized agents. Maybe one focuses on production line issues, another handles customer comms about delays, and there's usually an orchestration layer managing them, making sure they all work together towards that bigger goal.
And this isn't just theory, right? You mentioned adoption is happening fast.
Oh, incredibly fast. There was a recent survey. 51% of companies already have AI agents running in production.
Wow, half.
Yeah, and 78% are actively planning to implement them soon. And it's not just the big tech firms. Get this, 90% of non-tech companies are using or planning to use agents. That's almost the same as tech companies at 89%.
That's surprising.
It is. And interestingly, it's the mid-sized companies, maybe 100 to 2,000 employees. They're actually leading the pack. 63% of them already have agents deployed.
Okay, so how does this intelligence work? You mentioned learning and action.
Right. It's often described as the agentic loop. Think of it as this continuous cycle. First, it perceives, it gathers data from all sorts of places, APIs, sensors, databases, you name it. Then it reasons, it processes that data, often using large language models, NLP, to figure out what it means. Then comes planning, setting goals, deciding on the best course of action. Then action interacting with external systems, maybe placing an order, adjusting a setting, sending a message, all through APIs. And then, crucially, learning. It looks at the results, takes in feedback, and refines its strategies for next time. It's constantly improving, and often, like we said, orchestrating multiple agents together.
Okay, so moving beyond the tech itself, what's the real business value, a so what factor. Because you're right, AI adoption needs to be a business decision, not just playing with new toys. What are the core advantages?
That's the key question, and there are clear advantages. First, that increased autonomy and efficiency we talked about. It drastically cuts down the need for constant human oversight. That frees up your people for higher value tasks. It means organizations can genuinely scale up their capacity without just hiring more and more people proportionally.
Right.
Second, you get enhanced problem solving.
Yeah.
These agents can sift through massive data sets in real time, spot subtle patterns humans might miss, and even propose novel solutions. Third, it enables truly proactive operations. You shift from constantly putting out fires to actually anticipating them. An agent might detect early signs of a supply chain bottleneck and reroute things before it becomes a major issue. And finally, it fosters innovation. Agents can speed up product development cycles, help analyze market trends for new ideas, drive strategic initiatives.
And we're seeing real results from companies already doing this.
Absolutely. The impacts are quantifiable and pretty compelling. Take financial services. Moody's built a research assistant. Users consumed 60% more research and got tasks done 30% faster. We've also seen financial close cycles cut by 30% with like 99% accuracy in reconciliations.
That's significant.
Huge. Or look at customer service. Agentic AI can amplify the productivity gains you get from GenAI, which are already decent, 30-45%, by automating the entire workflow end-to-end. Bank of America's Erica, for example, handled over 1 billion interactions, and it resolved issues 98% of the time.
Wow, 1 billion.
Yeah, and it goes beyond finance and service. Supply chain companies have seen up to 30% cuts in transport costs, 25% faster transit times. Flexport reported things like that. Walmart's using inventory bots. They cut excess inventory by 35%.
Okay.
And it even drives revenue. One bank used agentic automation for loans, cut processing time from 48 hours down to 6 hours. They saw a 15% increase in loan approvals because of it.
So it's not just saving money, it's making money and making the business faster.
Exactly. It's not just linear cost savings. It's a strategic investment in agility, in what some call decision velocity, compressing those decision cycles from days or weeks down to minutes or seconds. That speed lets businesses react to market shifts, grab opportunities way faster than competitors.
Okay, these benefits sound almost revolutionary, but it can't all be smooth sailing, right? Let's dig into the hard truths. What challenges are organizations actually facing? I saw some research from Prochi that really stood out. It said most AI adoption failures aren't about the tech itself. They're due to, and I quote, human barriers such as resistance, uncertainty, and lack of alignment among employees. That sounds critical.
It's incredibly critical. Prochi found 63% of organizations point to human factors as a primary challenge.
63%.
Right? Yeah. And when you break it down, what are those human challenges? Well, a big one is simply lack of AI proficiency and training that accounts for about 38% of the issues. Then there's leadership alignment or lack thereof and organizational resistance. Insufficient executive sponsorship is blamed for 43% of adoption failures.
So leadership buy-in is key.
Absolutely crucial. Then you have concerns about the AI's data and the information it produces. Over 10% of challenges come from people questioning accuracy, consistency, potential bias. There's a trust issue. People struggle to trust AI decisions, especially if they can't see how the AI reached its conclusion. It feels like a black box.
Right, the transparency thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And then role-specific resistance is very real. Mid-level managers, frontline employees, they might fear their job changing, fear the unknown, maybe feel unsupported or left out of the decisions.
And what about the technical hurdles? Beyond the people issues.
Well, the absolute foundation is data. As Workday puts it, bad data kills good AI. Simple as that. If your data is messy, old, siloed, it's a recipe for disaster. Garbage in, garbage out. Right. Data needs to be structured, relevant, timely, and importantly, have context. You need the why behind the what. Security is another huge one. It has to be built in from day one, not bolted on later. Otherwise, it's just a breach waiting to happen. And it's not one size fits all. Security needs to match how sensitive the data is, and you have to be transparent about how data is used.
Okay.
And finally, even with good data, there's the challenge of that opaque reasoning, the black box problem we mentioned, and the fact that statistical models can sometimes miss rare edge cases, leading to unexpected or flawed recommendations.
That makes sense. And it seems like consumers have their own mixed feelings, too. I saw a Cognizant study on this. While loads of people are using AI weekly now, like 73%, way up from 37% a year ago, their comfort level really varies depending on what they're doing.
Interesting. How so?
Well, they broke it down into phases: learn, buy, use. In the learn phase, like discovering products, comfort is highest, average 47%. People like the convenience, the time savings, voice assistants, chatbots, personalized recommendations, visual search, those score well. But, and this is a big but, people worry about manipulation, dynamic pricing, hyper-targeted ads. And about 13% worry if the AI is really acting in their best interest.
That trust issue again. What about the buy phase?
That's where comfort drops the most, Dairy. Only 27%. People fear giving up control, potential errors, data security, right at the point of purchase. Even AI fans get wary then.
So the actual transaction is the sticking point.
Seems like it. Though the desire for a smoother checkout could push adoption. But businesses have to balance that automation with making sure customers feel in control.
In the use phase, after the purchase,
comfort bounces back a bit, average 39%. People are okay with AI handling things like upkeep reminders, automatic refills, software updates.
But they draw the line at automatic repurchasing without explicit permission.
Interesting. Control again.
Yeah. And Cognizant suggests this points towards a future agentic internet where each of us might have our own personal digital concierge interacting with all these business AI agents.
So alongside consumer trust, enterprises face internal risks too, right? Things like manipulating the AI.
Oh, definitely. Critical vulnerabilities exist. Things like prompt injection, which is basically tricking the AI. Tool misuse, privilege compromise, getting the agent access it shouldn't have, memory manipulation. And a really big one is shadow AI. That's when employees start using AI tools, maybe even building simple agents without IT knowing or approving.
Bypassing the official channels.
Exactly. It creates huge, unmonitored security and compliance gaps. All of this just hammers home the need for a responsible AI.
Explain that. What does responsible AI entail?
It's really a framework built on core principles. Transparency, understanding how the AI works. Fairness, avoiding bias. Accountability, knowing who's responsible if something goes wrong. And privacy, protecting data. And it's not just a nice to have. There's real pressure now. Regulations like the EU AI Act, the US AI Bill of Rights, plus consumer expectations are rising. Get it wrong, and you face serious reputational damage, potential fines. It's a business imperative.
Okay, so given all these challenges, human, technical, ethical, how do organizations actually navigate this successfully? How do they get it right? You mentioned a people-first approach and leadership.
Precisely. It circles back to that idea. AI adoption is not a technology problem. It's a leadership one. Success requires a structured approach, starting right at the beginning with strategic alignment and really assessing your readiness.
Phase one, assessment and strategy.
Exactly. Phase one is opportunity assessment and strategic alignment. This means doing a formal readiness assessment, looking at six key areas: business operations, your existing supporting technology, AI governance frameworks, change management capabilities, content and knowledge management, and critically, the data you have to support potential use cases.
So data readiness is paramount.
It often turns out that an agentic AI readiness check is basically a data maturity assessment. Good, clean, contextualized data is like the price of entry. You can't skip that step. Then you identify high-impact use cases. Where can AI deliver real, measurable value quickly? Start small, prove the value, then scale fast. And underpinning all this, you need a clear strategic North Star, a vision for AI's role in your business tied to core goals that everyone understands and rallies behind.
Okay, that makes sense. Assess, find wins, set a vision. What's phase two?
Phase two is architecting and building the actual agentic workforce. This involves a proper AI agent development lifecycle. It's about a six-step process. Define the agent's purpose clearly. Prepare the data, meticulously cleaning it, anonymizing sensitive info. Choose the right AI models and frameworks, things like LangGraph, CrewAI, AutoGen are tools specifically for this. Then comes training the agent, testing it rigorously, A/B tests, user feedback loops, and finally, continuous monitoring and refinement. You have to watch for model drift. Yeah, that's when the AI's performance degrades over time because the real-world data it's seeing starts changing. And the model hasn't kept up. Requires ongoing tuning.
And building these requires a different way of thinking for developers.
Absolutely. It requires an agent mindset. Focus on the outcome you want, not just the code. Keep agents relatively simple and specialized for specific tasks. Plug them into existing tools where possible, don't reinvent the wheel. And avoid shiny object syndrome, just chasing the latest tech without a clear purpose. It's a real paradigm shift. Moving from writing rigid code to essentially teaching agents how to use tools and how to reason using natural language.
Okay, and phase three, deployment and scaling.
Right. Phase three, deployment, scaling, and what's being called agent tops. This is where you think about architectures for managing multiple agents working together, multi-agent systems, or MAS. How do they coordinate? Maybe a central supervisor, maybe they work decentrally or in hierarchies. There's even this concept of an agentic AI mesh where agents can dynamically find and interact with each other.
Sounds complex to manage.
It can be. That's where agent tops comes in. It's a new discipline focused on managing this digital workforce at scale. It involves things like a central catalog of all your agents, performance monitoring dashboards, and a unified governance and control plane. You need that to prevent agent sprawl, agents popping up everywhere without oversight.
And measuring performance. It's not just, did it work?
No, it's much more nuanced. You need metrics covering response quality, is it hallucinating? Is it generating toxic content? Efficiency, how quickly does it get to the answer? User experience, are user satisfied? What's the sentiment? And of course, tracking security and ethical flags.
Which brings us back to control and trust. How do you maintain oversight?
The key concept here is human in the loop, or HITL. It's fundamental for building trust. You design a system so the agent knows when to pause and ask for human input, especially before making critical decisions.
Right. I read about different ways to do that, like giving guidance beforehand.
Yeah, that's pre-processing HITL. Then there's in the loop, where the agent actually stops and waits for explicit human approval before proceeding. Amazon Bedrock has a feature like that, user confirmation.
Okay.
And post-processing is where a human reviews the agent's output before it's finalized or sent out.
And it was something called return of control.
Yes, ROC, that's a deeper level of intervention. It allows a user not just to approve or reject, but to actually edit the agent's proposed plan or action. It gives much finer grained control.
So you start with more control and gradually loosen the reins.
Exactly. It's often called the path to managed autonomy. You start with strict governance, lots of HITL checkpoints. Then, as you validate the agent's reliability and performance over time, you can gradually grant it more independence. And the learning never stops. Agents need continuous learning from that human feedback in HITL, from environmental feedback, did the action achieve the desired outcome? And even through self-reflection mechanisms, there's a technique called reflection, for example, where an agent analyzes its own past actions to figure out how to improve.
And they can learn from each other too.
Yes. That's collaborative learning in multi-agent systems. Agents share insights, successful strategies. It creates this amazing compounding knowledge effect across your whole digital workforce.
This is where it gets really practical. Let's talk about some real-world examples. Where are we seeing these agents making an impact right now?
Okay, good examples. IT operations or AI ops. We're moving beyond just AI assisting humans to AI actually driving actions. Think proactive incident resolution. We saw a financial services firm where agents autonomously manage payment system loads to prevent slowdowns, or advanced root cause analysis. A manufacturer used agents to identify and fix weird network anomalies, saving them something like $175,000 a month.
Wow. Go.
Customer experience, as we touched on, it's evolving beyond basic chatbots to virtual employees that can handle complex issues end to end. This improves things like first contact resolution, reduces average handling time. Remember Bank of America's Erica, billion interactions, 98% resolution. That's agentic power.
And what about developers? I heard about AI software engineers.
Yeah, engineer agents. There was buzz around Devin, called the world's first fully autonomous AI software engineer. And companies like Nubank have used similar concepts for huge, complex tasks like code migrations. They reported something like 8 to 12 times better efficiency, 20 times cost savings.
Incredible. Security, too.
Definitely. Security agents acting like omnipresent guardians, continuously monitoring networks, analyzing threats, and initiating responses automatically. Apex Fintech, for example, cut their threat analysis and response time down from hours to basically seconds using AI agents.
Seconds. Okay. Any other areas?
Oh, yeah. Creative agents are transforming content creation, personalized marketing. Puma used AI to generate localized product images quickly. Radisson Hotel Group used it to personalize ad campaigns, speeding up production and boosting engagement. And analyst agents. These synthesize vast amounts of data into actionable insights much faster than humans could. Bayer Crop Science is using them to turn complex agricultural data into specific recommendations for farmers.
So pulling this all together, agentic AI really isn't just another tool in the toolbox. It sounds more like a strategic partner. And the key takeaway seems to be that the real magic happens when the technology is fully adopted and, importantly, embraced by the people in the organization.
That's exactly right.
We're heading towards this idea of the agentic enterprise, aren't we? where every company is fundamentally AI-driven with these autonomous or semi-autonomous agents woven into every function.
It's a fundamental shift. The widespread use of AI agents will likely reshape how we even structure organizations. We might move away from rigid, fixed job roles towards more agile teams that form around specific tasks or outcomes, blending human and AI contributor.
A truly hybrid workforce.
A hybrid workforce, exactly. We might even see the rise of zero FTE departments, functions largely run by AI, achieving unprecedented levels of productivity. But, and this is crucial, it elevates the human role. Human expertise becomes more valuable, focusing on strategic oversight, complex problem solving that requires intuition, creativity, innovation, and importantly, empathy, relationship building, the things AI fundamentally can't replicate.
So new roles will emerge too.
Definitely. We'll need AI trainers, prompt engineers who craft instructions for AI, AI supervisors overseeing agent teams, data stewards ensuring data quality, AI ethicists guiding responsible deployment. It's a whole new landscape of work.
So as we wrap up, maybe the final thought for you, the listener, is this. As AI agents increasingly handle the routine, the operational work, the question for us really changes. It shifts from what can we do with AI to what should we do with AI next? How will you lead the journey in your context to embrace this collaborative future? Maybe think about your own work. How could it be augmented? What skills might you need to cultivate in this evolving world?